Hello and welcome to this reflection from Streatham Vale Baptist Church. We continue in our Lenten journey towards the cross and resurrection as we journey with Jesus through his ministry. So far we have spent time with Jesus in the wilderness and we have been with Jesus among the crowds. This week we see Jesus with his friends. We enter the story to find Jesus with his disciples across the River Jordan. Jesus and his disciples have had a busy, interesting and scary few weeks just before they get to where they are. In John chapter 9, we see Jesus in Jerusalem, healing a man born blind, and the Pharisees investigate the healing because it took place on a Sabbath. And later on in chapter 10, Jesus continues to teach in the temple, and his teaching angers some of his opponents, and we are told his Jewish opponents picked up stones to stone him. So Jesus and the disciples withdraw back across the Jordan to the place where John had been baptizing in the early days. And this is where we find them in our reading for today. So I'm going to read from John chapter 11, verses 1 to 16. Now a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, "Lord, the one you love is sick." When he heard this, Jesus said, "This sickness will not end in death. No. It is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it." Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was for 2 more days. And then he said to his disciples, "Let us go back to Judea." "But Rabbi," they said, "a short while ago the Jews there were trying to stone you, and yet you are going back." Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours of daylight? Anyone who walks in the daytime will not stumble, for they see by this world's light. It is when a person walks at night that they stumble, for they have no light." After he had said this, he went on to tell them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going there to wake him up." The disciples replied, "Lord, if he sleeps, he will get better." Jesus had been speaking of his death, but the disciples thought he meant natural sleep. So he told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead, and for your sake I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe, but let us go to him." Then Thomas, also known as Didymus, said to the rest of the disciples, "Let us also go, that we may die with him." Considering the time that they had had just before this moment, I imagine the disciples are feeling fairly frazzled. I'm sure they were quite relieved to be away from Jerusalem, with the River Jordan separating them, providing a physical barrier between them and the people who wanted to kill them. They probably would have preferred to be even further away, somewhere safe and out of harm's way. And it is into this scene that a messenger comes, informing them that Lazarus is dead. The one you love is sick. Jesus was clearly close with the whole family. John informs us that Jesus loved them. And yet it says, "So when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. I don't know about you, but on the surface this seems like a strange decision. When we hear a loved one is sick, we often do all we can to go and see them, even when we cannot do anything about it. And this is Jesus, who can heal the sick. So why does he stay where he is for 2 days? In this passage, it seems like we can see the way God answers our cries for help being played out in the story. I think this is something we can all relate to. At some point, all of us have been, or perhaps still are, praying to God to do something or intervene in a difficult and painful situation. We pray and we pray, and yet it feels like nothing is happening. Days, months, or even years go by and the situation has not changed. And to our perspective, it feels like God is delaying, like he is deliberately choosing to stay away and not help us in our troubles. We cry out wanting an immediate answer to our needs, and yet God says wait. I can imagine the pain that Mary and Martha must have felt when they realised that Jesus was not rushing over like they would have expected. So why did Jesus wait? Why didn't he immediately make preparations to head back to Bethany? What was going on? Well, firstly, I want to say that Jesus' delay of 2 days did not lead to Lazarus dying. I used to read this passage and think that Jesus deliberately waited to make sure Lazarus had died before he arrived. And honestly, I used to think this seemed kind of cruel, that Jesus made Mary and Martha go through this experience just to prove a point. But reading this passage more carefully, it becomes apparent that Lazarus was already dead, probably before Jesus had even received the message. What evidence do I have for this? Well, scholars believe Jesus was staying in Perea, and they were about 18 miles away from Lazarus, Mary, and Martha. And so it would have taken about 4 to 6 hours for a person to get from Bethany to Jesus to bring them the message. It would have then taken Jesus and the disciples 4 to 6 hours to get back to get back to Bethany. So if they had left immediately, it would have been a total of 8 to 12 hours from the moment the message was sent out to when they could have arrived. And yet, we are told that when Jesus arrives, even after these 2 days of waiting, Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. This means that Lazarus probably died shortly after the messenger had left Mary and Martha to find Jesus. This is also supported by the fact that Jesus told the disciples, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going there to wake him up." Jesus clearly knew Lazarus was already dead, and that he wouldn't have reached there before his death. So I ask again, why did Jesus wait 2 days before heading over? Well, we can't know exactly why Jesus did this, but we can make some educated guesses. There was a common belief among Jews during those times that when someone died, their soul would hang around the body for 3 days, looking for an opportunity to return to the body. But after 3 days, the body would start to decay and the person was considered irrevocably dead. This means that when Jesus comes to the tomb 4 days after Lazarus had died, it is clear that the miracle Jesus performs by raising Lazarus from the dead is not a mere coincidence or trick. It is a sign to all those prepared to believe that Jesus is more than just a prophet or just a miracle worker. He commands the power that only God can command. This gives people a sign as to who Jesus truly is. Jesus remained those 2 days so that the glory of God could be displayed. As he said to his disciples, "This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it." So the answer to Mary and Martha's cry to God was to wait and you will see God's glory. But what about the disciples' needs? When Jesus tells the disciples, let us go back to Judea, they are quick to answer from their fear. "But Rabbi, a short while ago the Jews there tried to stone you, and yet you are going back?" Their fear is understandable. Bethany was less than 2 miles away from Jerusalem, and they had just faced death there just a short while ago. So they plead with Jesus not to go, because it is so dangerous. Jesus' answer to them might seem a bit cryptic, but it is an invitation to trust him. He says, "Are there not 12 hours of daylight? Anyone who walks in the daytime will not stumble, for they see by this world's light. It is when a person walks at night that they stumble, for they have no light. To fully understand what Jesus means here, we need to go back to the moment where he heals the man born blind in John chapter 9. Jesus clearly links these two moments, as when he was talking about Lazarus's sickness, Jesus states, "The sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that the God's Son may be glorified through it." And when he was talking to the man born about the man born blind, Jesus states, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned, but this happened so that the works of God may be might be displayed in him." Both instances were allowed to occur so that God's glory may be displayed. In the case of Lazarus, it was a demonstration of God's power over death itself, a precursor to what Jesus would later be finishing, the death of death. Where, O death, is your sting? The link between the healing of the blind man and Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead is also found in Jesus' announcement that he is the light of the world. In John chapter 9, after stating that the man was blind to allow the works of God to be displayed in him, Jesus continues speaking and says, "As long as it is day, we must do the work of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Here, Jesus makes it clear that he is the light of the world. Therefore, when the disciples try to stop Jesus going to Bethany, Jesus' response is a reminder to them to follow him. He tells his disciples, "Anyone who walks in the daytime will not stumble, for they see by this world's light." Jesus is this world's light. And so Jesus is instructing them to follow him, to walk in his footsteps, to take his path. Jesus speaks these words to us too. When we walk following Jesus' path, we will not stumble, because we have Jesus, the light of the world, to light our path. This doesn't mean that we won't face troubles. After all, Jesus speaks these words to the disciples as they embark upon the dangerous journey back towards Jerusalem. But it is a reminder that no matter what happens, if we are walking with Jesus, we are under his protection. It is when we wander off in our own direction that we stumble and fall. The disciples, though still full of fear, follow Jesus towards Jerusalem, to Bethany. I think Thomas probably spoke out loud what they were all thinking. "Let us also go, that we may die with him." I love that they trusted Jesus enough that they followed him even though they were consumed by fear and expecting to die. It's such a real life kind of perspective, because there are times where we might feel full of fear and worry about what the future may hold, but that we have the choice. Will we allow fear to paralyze us, or will we, like the disciples, allow our fear to draw us closer to God? We see in this moment with Jesus, with his friends, that he answers our prayers, even if we don't always like what those answers are. He told Mary and Martha to wait so that God's glory could be revealed. And he spoke to the disciples, telling them to go, even though they were full of fear. But he was with them. And that is beyond all our needs. He is with us. And so when we have our prayers, when we are feeling full of fear, when we're wanting God to intervene in something, let's ensure we come to Jesus and ask him for help, and to recognize his power to do all things. So let's pray. Lord, it is sometimes hard to trust that you're working in a situation. When you tell us to wait, it can be painful. And we want answers right now. We want things to change right now. Let us remember that our timeline is not your timeline. That you have an eternal perspective, and ours is only so very limited. So help us to trust you. And Lord, help us also to trust you when you instruct us to go, when you tell us to move in your footprints, and yet we're feeling so full of fear. Help us to use that fear to draw us closer to you and to follow after you, knowing that you will never lead us astray. In your name we pray. Amen.